Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, happy birthday, Obama, because we need everybody, and the chart of now is his solar return, so that's good. And an arousing segue from last week's Kate Raphael's novel, The Midwife in Town, about the rapid response team. She began writing it in 2013, right? The rapid response team of women supporting women around, you know, cat transit, the world. And so we just look at the Kansas election, right, in which arousing, you know, crossing party lines, women rose up in woofiness, and go, no, you can't take that away. There we go. And it's a humming with the November 8th midterm elections. And I just want to say to everybody, it's such a spectacular chart that vote, devote, you know, vote for the most responsible human, but we're voting for the Earth. It's a full moon lunar eclipse. And anyway, we'll be talking about that more in the incoming time, but it's very connected to now. We can see it already with woofiness. So all natural facts are social strategy metaphors. So who more wonderful to dance with than the return of Ron Kauk, Coyote Network News Yosemite Bureau Chief. All right, we should all make up our own titles, to co-animate Jupiter and Uranus stationing, right? Situation so grave we can't indulge in the luxury of realism, right? Or nyanya into the cauldron too. So Jupiter and Uranus are the two booking agents. They are the desirable vision of redesigning the entire educational and justice systems to be and everything else to be in accord with nature's guiding genius, biomimicry schooling, biomimicry justice, you know, all of that. So welcome, Ron Kauk.
Thank you, Caroline. It's always an awesome opportunity to commune with you and see where we go within the context that you just laid out, or the natural facts, the education. And so thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. No, my delight. And it's true. We're just here, as you said, you know, backstage. We're just all of us convening and, you know, council fire. And as Terry Pratchett said, here we are around this little circle of firelight we think of as the real world, surrounded by vast pulsing mystery. So we're just all seated in council, everyone listening, right? So in our conversing. And then let me just offer to everybody, to myself and to you and whatever is. So many of us can. Blah, blah, blah. So I toss the I Ching, Stephen Karcher's version, and sometimes I expect to be scolded by the I Ching, but it was like, no, here, tell everybody, great invigorating strength, it's time to come out of retreat. The retreat is over, and great strength takes the field. Great invigorating strength describes our situation in terms of drive and invigorating power. The way to deal with it is to focus your strength through a central creative idea. The way is open, a time of abundance unfurling. Don't be afraid to act alone. We are all coupled to a creative force. And then it changes into, it's very Lamas, right? We're in this Lamas mid-season thing, abounding, receiving the mandate, bringing the mandate of heaven to earth. And we go, oh, that's great. And just as a little thing, Sean Patrick Donahue and I will be convening a Lammas Eve, true Lammas enough, Eve, August 8th, you know, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. East Coast time. It's our Monday Trickster Council, but open to all by intuitive whim donation. And you can find out about that at coyotenetworknews.com. There we go. And then we'll be brewing an election magic council, but more about that in the unfurling weeks. All right, now back to you, Ron. So the retreat is over. Time to come out. Does that feel right to you?
Absolutely. I mean, even in your astrological readings, we know we're going into a whole new cycle, you know, a whole new day. And that song that the world is, how does it go? The world is over. Oh man, I can't think of it right now. Oh, it doesn't matter. But anyways, we're starting a new world, right? So with Sacred Rock, our nonprofit, you know, I've been trying to imagine rewriting the educational system, not based on industrialization, but humanization. So a clue, that song was, it's the end of the world as we know it, that song.
And, that's it.
But it isn't the end of the world, it's a new beginning, right? So if you look at a new beginning, and you think about education, it's a fun thought to get us back to the basics and essence of love. So I love sharing this story. The other day I was going to go pay the lady who does my tax, and she said, oh, just go over to the office. There'll be someone there. I go, okay. So I go over to the office, knock on the door, wait a while, and the door swings open, and here's this beautiful woman with a new baby kind of on her chest and shoulder. And that baby looked so incredibly content. It was just, I didn't expect to see this. And this is what's fun about having our conscious to use and have those moments of epiphany or aha. Because here's a man appreciating this beautiful woman, full breast with milk, mind you, for the nurturing of that baby. And in the blink of an eye, you've kind of interpreted life right there. And I said to her, wow, that's really a beautiful scene that you're sharing with me with this new baby. And I said, you know, we were all that baby once. And she goes, that's right. So at that kind of thought process is to say, what is that baby receiving? Nurturing, love, and connection. So I was saying to this lady, I think we spend the rest of our life trying to stay in connection with nurturing, love, and a connection, be connected. So what we know we're suffering from is separation. How do we fit into this whole thing? So what the elders have told us for years is you've got to love yourself, help yourself to help others. So in our nonprofit, we call, you know, Sacred Rock Education Nature's Way, you know, I keep trying to work with these natural facts like we're saying. So it appears to me that if we can go back inside ourselves and remember the seeds that were planted in us from that moment of being born as a being, that was a being that was starting a human journey. But if that being loses contact with that kind of nurturing and love and connection, I think that the side effects are acting out. So those side effects could act out to dropping a bomb on Japan. Because how can you do that? How does that happen? Where does that come from? It's not coming from a love. It's not coming from love. So to flip the script right now into this new realm of wherever we're going, it would have to be based on love and connection. The nurturing. That's why we're trying to bring back our indigenous reality as human beings from the earth. This is the trick that has to, that flip, the switch has to be flipped on in us to break the spell of racism and on. So the next generation, we have to prepare them for going into this new realm of memory to being a human being on the earth, the mother earth. So the other thought, it was like, well, maybe you want to roll with that a little bit.
Well, let me just respond and then toss it back to you again. Two Librans toing and froing. How wonderful. Right, now, so I just want to bring up an oft-told tale from our beloved David Grimes ally. His friend was walking in the wilderness of Alaska with her baby on her backpack, and they came around a corner, and there was a mother grizzly with her cubs, and the mother grizzly and her cubs roared up like, ah, and then the baby on the woman's back looked around and saw the bear and went, ah, and the bear said, oh, baby. Baby, we're mothers, cool, dropped down, yep. Walked away. Right, so and also I love how we don't need astrology, we're all speaking it, but just you speaking that Venus now is in Cancer, which is the love of the mother, and it trines Neptune, what you were saying, what you were translating into words, you know, and it's like, yes, that sense of reverence and nurturing and connection and you know, and it's like we have the two stationing Jupiter Uranus, our booking agents. It says deep dedication, Saturn. You just dedicate to what we'll do. How, so we go. Coyote mm-hmm. trickster crosses borders, cross pollinates to and fro between the dream world. So that's very here. So we want to, and radio magic. We want to suffuse. Mm-hmm. Through the power of radio magic, you know, collective mind with that, you know, and we'll speak also about the power of blessing, you know, what is the one way of relating to the world, guaranteed replenishing, never depleting, and it's like, make a well for you, you know, may the love of the mother accompany you, may you, yeah, that,
exactly.
I toss it back to you.
Yeah, and there what we're saying is all inside of us, you know. We've been given the gifts of all this higher intelligence inside us, with the ability to connect. So like I said, if we're trying to rewrite the educational system based on humanization, we need these steps to continue for the young kids. So like I said, work with juvenile hall and a lot of different kids, and you realize you've got to get them to them earlier and protect them and build their confidence of who they are as human beings. And then it gets so exciting because if we, maybe what we're working on too is a universal creation story for this world right now, to get us to take the time to remember who we are and the gifts we've been given and the value of these gifts, like to be able to see. And I think, the Hopi, I heard a guy giving one of the prophecy talks, and he said, the world is going to be going faster and faster, and we need to slow down even more. So in that slowing down, we can be calm, we can connect, and we can consider what are we really believing nowadays. I mean, we know that there's a lot of lies flying around the world from higher-ups telling us this and telling us that, and we're trying to make sense of it, but it can get confusing. But like you say, if you find your loyalty to the Mother Earth, that'll go back to the reality of the nurturing that we need as human beings to feel that sense of love. And we feel that sense of love within ourselves, we can share it with others respectfully, responsibly. And I think that's the way forward right now, is to get ourselves plugged back into what is the closest thing of reality that we could get to, is the natural world. Because it's not lying to us. The natural world does not lie. The bear's really not trying to trick you too much. It just goes along with its own business. You know what I mean? So if we discover who we are as human beings back in relationship to all our relations, you constantly feel nurtured. I mean, when you wake up in the morning and you drink your coffee, that's like nurturing, You eat your food, you're being nurtured. And where did that food come from? The coffee came from the earth. Oh, that's my mother. She gave me these gifts of love, from love. So this is the exciting thought in my mind, is to bring that back into our consciousness, to slow down enough and feel like, you're okay. We're all okay. And
that's
help
great.
Each other.
And it taps into, Venus in Cancer, water sign, trine Neptune, big mama, water, ocean, water cooling out the conflagration, right? So it says all that you're just invoking and giving voice to is the waters that put out the fire. And there you are in Yosemite, right? So you're our Coyote Network News bureau chief, Yosemite bureau chief, and, big fires, and then the
big
waters putting out the conflagration. So any scouting reports you want to pour forth from the fiery realm of Yosemite,
which has been going on for years. That's why I was joking about the end of the world. As we know, it's not really, but everything is in a change, So we've been having these fires for years. I've been evacuated. Now it went into that area. Well, it was inside the park, Washburn fire, which was huge, lots of smoke. Then it jumped into the other fire, Oak Fire, what do they call it? And we have a lot of friends in there who lost their homes. I just got notification that the chair, Steve Shackleton, an incredible guy, former chief ranger, chair for Sacred Rock, his home was saved, so that was good news. But, it's good that you say that, because I just came down from Tuolumne Meadows at 8,000 feet, where a huge thunderstorm building came down into El Portal at 2,000 feet, really hot and all that. But on my way down, I stopped at a spring. I always stop at this spring, and I was kind of hot and I was sweating. I just put this water on me, like you're saying. That water was cooling and connecting, and that's part of our humanization education, is to connect with water again. Get really in tune with water, because that is our life source. That is the blood of the Mother Earth, it's so powerful to connect to water. So we need to bring that into our psyche and think about what we're going to do about these things. This is why, I know the political world has to be addressed and we have to vote and all that, and that's important. But if we get our loyalty to each other and the nature, and I think everything will start to shift somehow, where we're going to put more emphasis on protecting our life source, And so to reach into that water and put it on my face, I put it on my arm, I put it on my chest, I'm just thinking, wow, that feels so good. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because Yosemite is a place that the world celebrates water. I mean, we have the most beautiful waterfalls in the world. It's one of the second highest waterfalls in the world, if that matters. They're all beautiful. And yet we can go over to that store and buy a bottle of water for $1.50 or $2 and then go out and look at that water and think, why aren't you drinking that water? That's why I tease the kids. I go, how many gallons of water is going over that waterfall? And they'll go, thousands. I go, well, if they can sell you a bottle, that must be worth a lot of money, huh? To get us to think about the value of things. That's why if we go back inside ourselves and we recognize the value of our being and the higher intelligence of an immune system, a digestive system, even our thoughts, have an effect. So if we want to all get together now and start thinking about that nurturing love connection, starting with inside yourself, the gift you've been given to be you, that's what we're all gifts to ourselves and each other, right? I'm not even trying to go religious, spiritual, Buddha, Native, and nothing. This is all common sense to me. So if we understand the gift we are to be ourselves, we share our gifts, we're going to start making things happen. That's why those guys said the world's going to be going faster, but we need to slow down and get calmer and think about our opportunity to participate in this great change that we're in for the greater good. It is based on love. So that baby, that baby's name's Jack. Because I asked that lady, what's your baby's name? She said, Jack. I'll dedicate this whole time to Jack, whoever Jack, that little 2-week-old baby is, and think that baby is a being getting nurturing love and connection. And my job is to try to figure out how to help the education for all youth to keep a nurturing love connection from inside themselves and out, and realize that this Mother Earth has so much power of love. That's why I like that Jimi Hendrix statement. It says, when the love for power becomes the power of love, that's when we can get going place. That's pretty good, huh?
That's pretty good. Water reflects a reverse image. So thank you, Jimi Hendrix, absolutely, and all of the beings backstage that we need. And you're doing it. You're speaking all the important things, like, because it, you know, where I got the phrase, you know, natural facts, social strategy, metaphors, goes way back. You know, it's the thing I really hold on to, but you just invoked it. You know, when I was talking to a group in Occidental and said, you know, let's slow down in order to speed up, what you just said. Mm-hmm. And all the farmers came up at the end and said, all of your metaphors are our facts. The more you slow water down with berms and such, the more you slow it down, the deeper it infiltrates. It's like, right. Mm-hmm. So the more we slow down, the deeper we infiltrate. And then just one other water teaching, you know, going, all right, yeah, the political, spiritual world, it's all one thing. It's all one thing. Suffusing water dissolves the boundaries. And so I'm fond of the water teaching that, you know, just even in little high school teaching where we take a glass of water and we put sugar in it and we stir it and the sugar dissolves and it's invisible. And we keep doing that. And then at a certain point, we add one more grain of sugar and it all falls out of saturation. And I think the collective mind is like that. You know, it's like, all right, we kept adding lies into the water. We kept adding lies into the water. Oh, can't see it. And then one more lie, boom, it all falls out. And I think that's where we're at. You know, even Dick Cheney, for God's sake, you know, Liz Cheney and even Dick Cheney, it's like, dementors of doom, but they're rising to the occasion. May we all rise to the occasion. You know, just one more lie and it falls out of solution. And I love my astro buddy, Sylvia Scully, saying, you know, let's see everybody kind of waking up in the morning going, what was I thinking? What was I thinking that I was cruel or that I was possessed by, you know, mob mind? What was I thinking? Anyway, so we're sending that out there. So the teachings of water, the teachings of water. Well, and then back to what you said, you know, when you're working with, you know, the previously incarcerated youth to, you know, guide them back to themselves. But can you drink that water in the waterfall? Is it safe to drink?
Well, I drink the spring water from around. That's the reason I'm talking to you right now, because of the spring water. Not many people drink. Well, in bringing up that, the heating, the ozone getting a little thinner and the sun getting more intense, those UV rays are heating up our river. And it goes into algae blooms. Maybe you've been hearing about that. So last year, we couldn't swim in the river. They didn't have people swimming in the river. So these are the signs that are starting to show. Years ago, when I was a youngster running around, I drank out of everywhere. It didn't bother me. But I don't – that's a great question, because why would we go buy bottled water, you know? So, I don't know what to say about that, but –
Right. Well, my grandparents, right, who were steely New Englanders, you know, and they said, imagine Frank Poland, our neighbor, thinking he could sell water. What a fool. Right. It's Poland water. Right. And so it's like, who would buy water? That's crazy. Well, so sane, reverent common sense, you know, and the seeing of the necessary miracles of, you know, that one. Of the water running clean, you know, and all of our ways of cooperating in ceremony and in education, and you know, we're full of ingenuity and altruistic ingenuity. Going, how do we restore water? How do we cooperate with water to restore her benevolence, her health-giving effects? You know, rather than You know, and that's part of the wild undulating, because you're with the waterfalls that generate, you know, just ozone and just general good feeling anyway. And you know, all the permaculture people say when water is moving, and when it's moving in a all water moves in a spiral, it can metabolize poison. But when we force it into a straight channel, it carries poison and can't heal itself or us. And that's kind of back to your educational vision, right? When we force kids or anybody into a straight, shallow, concrete channel as opposed to the undulating wild thing.
Exactly. And you know, what you're saying is bring it back to that reality of how much water is in our body, you know? And can you commune with water? And the answer should be yes. There's a language between our bodies and that waterfall. You know, so this is what's getting to be more exciting about evoking that deep connections that we have. And I think that if we can start doing that, we're going to use, in the example of technology, they've gone so far with this technology. I've been reading certain books. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm way behind the curve as far as all this technology goes. But at the same time, I could be in a sweat lodge realizing that we can heal the ozone with our songs, you know. So what about, where did all these ideas come from to have the next cell phone and then the satellites flying all over and Starlink, you know, on and on and on. But yet we have a certain kind of power and technology, too, that we need to wake up to. And it's it's back to this connection, right? If we can remember our connection and how we're divinely designed. I mean, that's why I stand barefoot a lot. You know, you recognize all the nerve endings in your feet, so you get a charge out of the earth. But we have to be willing to have these conversations based on the common sense and what we know through science and our own experiences, and get familiar with them and realize that we are up against a time where we want to be as healthy as possible in our mind and our body and our spirit to be able to go forward and kind of match the little story we're in, you know, with certain different perspectives of reality. You know, so getting back to the potential of the healing that's available to us with the power we have inside ourselves, we need to stop getting so influenced outside with fear. You know we all go through this in these last years, you know, all these viruses and on, what are we supposed to do? So it puts us in a very challenging situation. But if we keep our roots deep into the earth, we have that strength to endure. And that's why our Native brothers have made it, because of the spirituality. Black people, spirituality, you know, the suffering of a lot of the people that have had their spirituality to get them through genocide, slavery, on and on and on. But, you know, there's another thing that I think is so intriguing and why I'm so dedicated to rewriting the educational system. And, you know, I love to just say that, because why can't I say it? I just said it, right? Mm-hmm. So think about what happened in America. I don't know who the people were that showed up here back in 1492, what happened to them, if they were lost sense of being human, you know, or whatever. But then they wreaked havoc on the people living here, and they wanted to assimilate them, take away the language, take away the ceremonies, take away the human being, and make them into the man that the man wanted them to be. And then they put them in boarding schools. Okay, they did all that. And then along comes whoever else and says, well, we need to make another educational system. We'll base it on industrialization, so we'll train people to be employees to run the system. You know, I'm not for it or against it all. I'm just trying to understand it. So then you got, even I think Rockefeller might have, someone said that, well, we don't want a nation full of thinkers. We want a nation full of workers. So you just kind of pause and think, well, what is going on? And that's why the rewrite is so important now, to get a more of a clear, coherent understanding of how beautiful and powerful we are as human beings, loving, caring human beings. But we have to understand how to love ourselves and take care of ourselves. And we need to go into back into that tribal way where you have your elders and you have your olders, and we're all connecting with a story. That's why we need to get our story back right now, because I think it is a time to rewrite the story, starting with inside yourself, and then share it with each other, support each other. Don't be afraid to talk about how you feel, because I think a lot of times we're hiding how we really feel because we're worried about getting judged, because that's their school system. That, you know, the smart ones get a good grade and the dumb ones don't, I guess.
Right. Well, we do have a giant cauldron before us often, and especially now, into which to toss things and then ladle out the desirable, you know, what Pluto opposes, Neptune trines, right? So everything's, you know, all the old structures not based on nature's ingenuity are collapsing, but the energy invested in those collapsing structures is now available for imaginative and then literal rededication. So just as an example that you know, and for all of us to feel what we need. So it was like just a couple of ways back, you know, and part of me, my inner something, was just went on strike going, I'm not doing anything. I can't get anything done until I go to the ocean. I've got to go. I've got to go into the ocean. It's not even summer. I haven't been in the ocean. She's my mama. And so I grabbed the dogs and we went to just a funky, funky motel in Dewey Beach, you know. And it was one of those things that, you know, is this the thing or the symbol of the thing? Is it? But the minute I got in the ocean, I'm like, no, this is it. Yes, thank you. And it reminds me always, one of the great divinations I ever had was in Cuba with a great padrino, Enrique Sosa. And he didn't know anything about me. And I'd studied Santeria and had lots of trustworthy and untrustworthy Santero friends. But I just thought, oh, I bet Yamaya, because in the Orisha realm of Santeria, all the divinities, all the powers of nature are all of our family and our protectors and our kin. But there is one who is our primary mother, right? And it's customized anyway. So Enrique throws the shells and goes, oh, Yamaya, Big Mama Ocean is here, and she claims you as her daughter. And I was like, oh, that's great. And you must do this initiation, which I did, and the necklaces and the thing, whatever. And they said, you know, some things that I appreciate. She goes, she loves you so much that you shouldn't go melancholy and sit by the sea, because she loves you so much she'll take you back. And I go, okay, good enough. And don't swim out to floor because she loves you so much. But just for the fun of it, you know, the dedicated fun of it, they had told me, you know, when you approach the ocean, you know, take an offering of fruit and stand with your back to the sea and toss the fruit, you know, in like, phwah, and see if she accepts it or if it rolls back in, right? And so I was walking to the ocean. I go, oh, I forgot my beautiful plum. Oh, well, you know, I'm sometimes a scamp that way. But then there was this huge storm and everybody had to leave the beach, you know, for 20 minutes because of thunder and lightning like you have brewing and we have brewing outside D.C. right now, too. And I go, oh, perfect. I have time to walk back and get my sacred plum to, you know, I stood with my back to the ocean and go, thank you, and make me a better person. There you go. And then she took it. But yes, these to and fro's, you know, the giving of the gifts. So it was very wonderful replenishing, you know, our connection to water, as you say.
There's two things. There's two things there, right? It was your intuition that told you it was time to go to the ocean. Is that true? Like you just felt like I got to go.
Oh yeah, no. It was like a physical thing. It's like just the body went on strike. We're not doing anything. We're not sitting by a computer until we go immerse in the ocean. And then it was like, oh, that was just right. That was right. Anyway,
point. You need to trust that intuition, and then we need to connect with what, in a way, is the miracle of life, which Corbin Harney. Some might remember him, Shoshone Elder, you know, he talked a lot about the nuclear testing, but I used to hear him talk, go visit him, and he'd just say things like that, we got to work with the miracle of life. And you're like, wow, I'm going to just be thinking about that like I have for about 15 years. And so there's that opportunity to work with these things, with our intuition, and co-create, collaborate with that energy of the ocean, the spirit of the ocean, however you want to understand it. And I think that's where we want to get back to right now, is getting back to that relationship, right?
Right, and we're going to take our very short, you know, Taj Mahal, wonderful, wonderful short musical break in a moment. And just to remind everybody, our more than perfect for now guest is the return of Ron Kauk, you know, denizen of Yosemite, and filing his scouting reports and encouragement to us all as we aspire to necessary miracles. And there are so many teammates to connect. We'll talk about this on the other side of the break, but so many people at a point, you know, like the water, the sugar falling out of saturation, the lies falling out of saturation, and people saying, I've been doing this career. I don't want a career. I want a dedication, you know, and I want to the realms I've been working with, I really want to do, and then we'll come back to that too, more of, you know, guiding people to their own autonomy. And, you know, and as our friend David Grimes says, you know, and we'll come back to your work and of mentoring. We want to speak about mentoring youth, you know, to so that the innocent dignity of child heart, you know, opens again and realizes that it's strong, not weak. So we'll come back on that after our short break. And here's our short break, and we'll be right back.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Ooh, chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our guest this hour is Ron Kauk, denizen from Yosemite, you know, filing scouting reports, and many places. We were just segueing from our brother David Grimes talking about the innocent dignity of child heart, and your mentoring of youth who have endured, for all of us, adverse an imprisoning circumstance, right, and guiding them back into nature, you know, because, yeah. You know, one of the promos I wrote for, I've hosted you many times, you know, and I just said, Ron Kauk, denizen of Yosemite, one of the world's great rock climbers, has transformed the sport, quote unquote, into an aikido of intimacy, restoring our connection to Valis, vast, active, living, intelligent system, mentoring all with an especial dedication to previously incarcerated youth or currently incarcerated youth. Is that something that you're still doing?
Yeah, we're still doing it. It's been a little rough for juvenile hall because they got locked down with all that stuff that was going on, COVID and whatnot, but we're trying to get that going. But we've got a lot of other kids from all over, too, you know, foster care or group home kids, and now we're expanding on the east side of this area, working with some of the tribes over there. But I love what you're saying, you know, and I go back to Jack, the baby, you know, and for all of us being a baby, and whatever our trajectory was, mine put me in the direction of Yosemite so early. And so, you know, I literally had something to hang on to, which was the rocks, and pull me up into a beautiful world that built me, you know, as a human being that I am today, with confidence and respect and responsibility for the natural world, natural laws, and all the lessons. And now to reflect on those years, this stage of life is so beautiful, because what you realize is for a human being to find a sense of place is one of the most important and greatest gifts that we'll ever get, because we're talking about all our senses connecting. And then you'll see that there's no separation between you and that beauty that you're looking at. That's why I always like to say to the kids, if you see how beautiful that waterfall is, see it in yourself, because you're designed in the same way. You know, and like I say, it's all based on common sense to me, you know, like our bodies have the minerals and all the materials, the DNA of trees and rocks. And so that's what I'm trying to say. In our nonprofit, we want to get that story going. And it's not even a story as much as it is the truth about how incredible this world is when we feel the nurturing love connection. And that's what, again, I'll go back to that baby a million times, because it struck me. I was so shocked in a way. I don't know if shock's the word. It would just hit me like, that's what it's all about right there. That being is going to be a human. How do we help him be a human being? And we all got to ask ourselves at this point in time, who am I as a human being? What do I believe in? And I don't even know if believe's the word. What is my reality? I don't mind belief. So what do I believe? What am I loyal to? What is my foundation? You know, because like I say, we're being bombarded for so many things with our modern technological social media. And I'm not against any of this stuff. Like I said, it's all aikido moves. We're working with what we got. But I'll throw this out there. Maybe you've heard about the white buffalo calf prophecy. And I find those very interesting, where these people are so strong and connected to the earth and a lot of things. And that's about all the people coming together. That's what I see. If we can activate ourselves and get more attention put on inside ourselves and realize how beautiful we are, and we're a gift to ourselves and each other, we'll see that equality will start to go. Because remember, I was joking about we got to get over our bickering. One of our elders said that about it.
Yes. Right. Bickering and nyanya. I want bickering and nyanya into the into the cauldron, like nyanya. Okay, right. That's good. Yes.
Yeah, so that's back to the mentoring. So the beauty of these seasons of life, spring and summer, and then we go towards autumn, you can kind of help the spring, you know, start to turn that wheel. And so that's why I'm so dedicated to try to interpret this life journey here in this most beautiful place on the face of the earth that's now recognized as a World Heritage Site. So we got a lot to work with now within our indigenous native community to help interpret this story for all the people of the world that come here to unite us and feel that connection that nature is showing us, you know, because we've all been created equally as it's meant to be in that way of nature. So that's the story I like to, you know, as we're sharing now, to get inside ourselves and start that little fire in you that will warm you up to that reality of the love that created you and the love that we have to share. Because that will kind of bring things back down. That's the cooling waters, right? The cooling waters that kind of brings it back down. Okay, calming down. Now we're going to grow something new in the soil, you know.
And well, and our understanding of, you know, those who have been most dissed or imprisoned or exiled have great, great ritual intelligence. I've learned over and over again, working with troubled genius youth, we want to just, you know, support that, you know, that quality, right? And there was a leading thought that went there, but maybe you can rescue it, or we'll find it again. But when you speak like this, as you're speaking, as you are, you know, to kids who've had a hard time, they like this, right? It dissolves their defenses, right? Their tough guy wariness of being tricked. Do they feel that what you're saying is liberating and softening?
Well, I think that they feel it for themselves, because you could say anything you want to and you never know what they're going to, you know. But when you come here to Yosemite, we always like to say we facilitate the ceremony of nature. So we never make too big a deal. The guys show up, got backpack, little day pack with food and water, and we just start walking. And then kind of starts to relax, like, oh, what's happening here? We're all just walking. Then we might start a little conversation. So it has such a natural way to respect people's own ability to see something, to hear something, touch something, whatever. And even these guys would say, yeah, when we showed up, we were kind of a little bit like this, might make this some kind of, you know, tense. But they relax, and that's what the nature does to us people, because when we commune, we're somehow feeling something in our deeper intelligence that knows that you're a part of this world. In the other world, they're down there, struggle, because it's like a battle going on, you know, with whatever they're doing down there, and they got to protect and be leery of everyone around them, you know, so that's stressful, you know, so that's that whole other thing. But when you come here, and like, see, I just try to be a voice for the place or share my experience and just show respect, and then when we get the respect flowing back and forth, then we're getting somewhere, you know, so it's a beautiful thing to have been a part of. And I always tell these kids, you've helped me so much to think about all this stuff, you know, because I was your age at one time, and maybe you'll be my age, you know. But at the two ends of these spectrums, you know, there's a lot to share between each other. So again, we're trying to get the story of life back and promote this kind of well-being and foundation to stand on, to endure whatever it is we have to endure. Because we know that being human, it's about surviving. It's always been about survival one way or another. You know, but we do have to acknowledge these natural laws and put them into some kind of educational format, so that we don't neglect the reality of living on the earth. It is governed by natural laws. You can't break natural laws forever. You know, so you can try to control the weather and spray all the stuff they're spraying up there. I mean, that's what we see here in California. And when you look into it, you know, there's a lot of technology that can do whatever they want with the weather. So that's interesting. I'm only interested because I would think to myself, why would a person do that? You know, like what's the motivation there? You know, so that's intriguing.
Right. Well, there is the bioengineering and as Chokash saying, Hopi prophecy decades ago, says, you know, and talking about Atlantis and which people said, oh well, if technology is bringing us down, then surely a greater technology will get us out of this. No. Right, no bad idea. So yes, and then some, you know, creative whimsy. So I want to toss it back to you. So Jupiter represents the intelligence of curiosity and journeying and pilgrimage and sauntering and stories and blessing and education, right? So it's stationing, spending a lot of time at a particular degree of what's called the crystal gazer, you know, gazing at the desirable, you know, and inviting people to say, well, what's your vision of a desirable thing? And Uranus, the other path-opening genius intelligence that lives in us and connects us to everything like that in nature, the against all odds trickster genius, also stationing. And you've been, you know, referencing it without needing to, you know, just because it's real. Because Uranus's image is a new continent arising up out of the ocean, you know, opportunity and vitality after crisis. And so it's like, okay, okay, we can do this because it's not just us. And you know, as you're speaking. And everybody I've been speaking to in, you know, private sessions and conversations and stuff like that, their dedication is like, oh, I have so many allies that you know, some you know and some you don't know, who are working on these same things. And, you know, and I love a past guest, you know, we should connect you to Rick Gallo, one of the great deep, deep, deep ocean scientists. And in the shows we did 12 years ago and then a couple months ago, he's like, yeah, education, you know, how we want to really redo that so that animism, so that people understand that everything's alive, you know, and that we put the word people, you know, next to the buffalo people and the chipmunk people and the salmon people and the thing, you know, this equality. And yeah. And I just want to, you know, toss back that when I did the chart for the midterm elections, inspired by a colleague who's been working on this, I go, oh, I just have to say it's dawn on election day, you know, at the Capitol, and the sun at 16 Scorpio, woman made fertile by her own spirit. So it's like woo, right next to Venus in Scorpio, and it's an exact full moon lunar eclipse at the beginning of election day, opposite the moon exalted in Taurus. That's Big Mama, and the genius of nature. Exactly conjoined Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius. So the sun, I just have to say this and we'll translate it. The sun on election day is at 16 Scorpio. The moon is at 16 Taurus, exact full moon lunar eclipse. Uranus, trickster ingenuity, is at 16 Taurus. And we go, oh, we're electing flora fauna, right? You know, and that's why it's, and it's like the woofy women, and that's why the, you know, the Kansas thing is like it's an augury, and that's why our speaking even this hour with a Scorpio rising, same degree as what will happen on election day, and the moon in Scorpio rising, it's this now, everything we do is humming backwards and forwards, but is humming just for the fun of it, the midterm elections, like it's like we can time travel and throw little tendrils of the most desirable necessary miracle, you know, of sane, reverent common sense and ingenuity and connecting people. But it's very woofy woman. It's a super woofy woman election. And I like all the pundits going, oh, I guess we were really quite wrong. Yes, you were. Yes. Yeah, so against all odds, you know, and again, the gazing at the desirable and seeing the festival, whatever it is. So, you know, back to yourself. So do you have a... there was a time when I was encouraging ally councilmates, you know, to write fairy tale news headlines. Do you have a what's your closest river to you?
The Merced River, and then up into Yosemite, the Tuolumne River, which goes to Hetchy, which could water. But the one thing I wanted to share, like while I was listening to you talk, was like warming from my heart. Like I could feel it in my heart. Like oh yeah. And this is what we've said too in our last annual report. We're sharing that the higher intelligence is in our heart, and I felt that a few times too, talking to one of our elders about certain things, and then you know how you feel from the heart. So this is part of our big shift too, is to stay calm. When we calm down enough, and we listen to like what you're sharing there, and we feel it, we allow ourselves to feel like when you got called to the ocean or whatever it is. This is part of being human. So I could just feel that in my heart. See, that's where the intelligence and power is too, you know. So I just had to share that because it's so awesome to feel that. And then, you know, like you're mentioning rivers, and I get to be by these rivers all the time, you know, as well. So what did you want to know about the rivers?
Well, I just because I had a fairy tale headline. I just encourage us all to do this, you know, to critique and be fully aware, and then to present the desirable as a template that the backstage allies are willing to animate. So I'd done it for the Flint River, but let's just replace that the Flint River with the Merced and the Tuolumne. I go, the Merced and the Tuolumne rivers, newly cleansed by hymns, regain curves, rise up, and carry corrupt governance way downstream to a sociopathic rehab center where they are sentenced to planting cattails for 80 years. Anyway, that's my fun headline.
That's so great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well, just to, yeah, and then, right, something else I want to toss to you, too, you know, just, again, random things I love all the time that are, some things are true, but there are times when they're truer. I love Mary Oliver's many things, but she has a song of praise. Again, may that quicken in all of our hearts. She says, and it ends, you know, I sing in praise to this and that, and it ends, I sing in praise to the coyote that came at me with its strong teeth bared, and then at the last moment smiled. And I know that. I know that look. I know that look more than I know any other look, because you know, still a coyote going, ha, ha, ha. It's coyote humor. And I just like that. It's like, oh, no, oh, no. Oh, it's an ally. You know, so to toss back to you, you know, that everything we may perceive as a daunting adversary can spiral dance into a witty ally, you know, in the coyote form going, oh, no, no, oh, okay. And that, I think that's part of how we dance. And,
Well, no, I was just going to say, right, when we take deeper look into things, you know, like even up in Tuolumne, you know, it's got a nice view at the end of the day, you know, where that they say the sun is setting. And they were up there the other day, and I go, I heard that the sun doesn't move, so I guess the earth is turning, you know, and you ponder that, and then you think, okay, there's turning in tonight, and we go to sleep, you know, and so there's back to that nurturing, the mother earth, and the way we're designed, we're going to go to sleep now on our mother's little chest and shoulder, and she's going to turn us all the way around to the sun for a new day and new life. You know, taking ourselves into these things, I mean, we never want to neglect the gift of an imagination, right? That's why I know being in nature so much, it keeps the child in me. Like, you keep playful and childlike, you know, and I think that's what we don't want to lose, and that's the story we're in, because we are still that baby inside ourselves that's growing into a human being, but we got to balance the being and human. So this being part can connect to the energy too of all the other beings, you know, like that coyote you're talking about, the being, the bear, you know, that eagle flies by, you know, to be tied into all these. That's why these creation stories in most all cultures were very important to pass on, the creation story. So right now, if we're going to get into a new story, what should be our creation story? You know, what are we connecting to? What do we, again, believe in? How do we trust ourselves? Where are we getting our information? That's why some of the elders said, if you're having a tough time, go sit up in the mountain. Go sit up in the hill. Work it out. You know, so to get back into the natural flow, and even if wherever we are, there's a tree somewhere, there's, like you said, an ocean, we need that time to keep communing so we can communicate and build a community based on that language that's been kind of lost. Like you said, the tree people out there, they speak the same language, you know, but we got to get back into that language with them.
And I like the word that I think you almost said, but, you know, we want to play with words, right? So, you know, socialist, and that's all you use. But communitarian, I think, is kind of fun for us to ladle out and use that, because it's like, because nobody has an opinion about that. It's like, oh, community. Oh, okay. There we go. Just to stay playful with our language skills, right? That, you know, well, because before us on the work table, everything can be liberating or imprisoning. And this time of dedication, I know I'm kind of working on this too with, you know, all of our and my own, you know, grumpitude and whatever the thing is. And noticing that, you know, whenever I was annoyed by something, the one common denominator was me. I was the one present every time I was annoyed, right? And again, how to cook that into something more useful, right? So that playful realm. You know, so we are in the mid-season summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and I love Norhal, wonderful woman scholar, said, deliberate celebration of the change of seasons stirs the creative powers of the psyche. And it stirs our collaborative powers. So this is harvest time, you know, once again, you know, it's sacred bonfires, and it says that these things live in us in an endogenous way. It's like sacred bonfires or arson, take your pick. Right, so it's like the fire wants to happen, but in a ritualized and reverent way. Otherwise, we have. So how is Yosemite now? You mentioned the fires, which were extreme, and you were okay. And what does Yosemite have to say about the heat and the water?
Oh, well, it's tough. I mean, a lot of our trees are dying. You know, just coming down today from the meadows, I mean, you've got loads and loads, thousands of browning trees all over the countryside, you know. And then, like I said, there was a lady, a park service lady, across the river from where I was, and I could see her dipping something into the river. I said, "Are you getting the temperature of that water?" She says, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, you're going to keep track of it this year." And then, because that algae bloom, it gets too warm. So we're facing that. And like I said, it is like a microcosm of the country here, because we got government-run corporate interests, and we got a lot of development still going on up here. Big money flowing into paving the highways over to Tuolumne. Campground renovation, millions of dollars, you know, Bridalveil Falls and on, running sewer lines through our springs. And you're thinking, when, like David Brower pointed out, the best thing mankind could do is turn around and take a giant step forward. So it's all playing out here to think about who's really responsible to keep the balance. And we know within our people here, the indigenous people, that's what the thing is to do, you know, to keep that balance through the ceremonies and the way to maintain it. So as that new village is being built in Yosemite Valley, that's the great possibility of bringing the balance with the tradition and culture and the long-standing history that's come through this place, but to weave it into a narrative that brings all people together, that all people are indigenous to the earth. And it's just a matter of the education to remember that we're all made of the earth. So, you know, it went kind of wild. That's why I try to point out, whatever happened to the people, I'm not judging anything. I'm just observing the history. They showed up here and they wanted to take over. They stopped that way. They tried to stop that way of life, but you can't stop that way of life. It's not possible. But then they put the other people, the rest of everybody went to other kinds of boarding schools, which was called the public school, to be trained to be an employee. You know, so that's why we're saying now we got to get back to the wake-up call of being responsible and evoke our power to be helpers, healers, and menders, as it was said in a ceremony years ago. And I realize that to be true because that's our job. That's back to Jack, the newborn. You know, he has to be educated to this connection through the love and so forth. So it's all here for us. The most amazing thing is it's all here for us. We are living it, breathing it, seeing it, hearing it. But we have to wake up and kind of cleanse ourselves. That's why we do have ceremonies to purify and cleanse. So we know we're up against maybe a lot of pollution or whatever it may be, but we can still set course on the right direction to come back into this being human and you know, and work on that. What does it mean to be human? And the thing about being human is, how beautiful is that? When we help each other, when we support each other, when we're equal with each other. And we can start, everyone that's out there, wherever you are right now, together, we can begin that and feel supported to do that. No one's by yourself. The worst thing, the separation, these lockdown, all this thing that's going on is for that purpose, to continue this divide and conquer and confuse people and on and on and on. But those days are gone because the world as we knew it is no longer. That's gone. It's over. We're in a whole new shift of time that is going to require us to evoke our memory of the power we have of human beings to connect and be loyal to your Mother Earth and start getting your thoughts in the right direction, which will evoke those spirits. Like you've talked about the oil. You have little stories about the people, you know, that prayed and that oil went away, whatever it was. I've heard you say things.
Yeah, no, the Uwa people in Colombia, and thanks to the people who are working with them who reassured me that the story was true because they were there and they told me. The Standard Oil coming to drill in Colombia, and the Uwa people wanted to kill themselves in despair, and they were like, no, wait. We remember the rituals that our ancestors taught us. And so they did a long time of ritual in which they asked they invited the oil to hide, right? And Standard Oil did three drills, came up dry, packed up and left. So this kind of against all odds trickster ingenuity and finding the deeper relationship is so heartening, right? And you know, and as you were saying, not judging. Well, no, but diagnosis is really good. You know, Mercury just entered Virgo, so we go language and diagnosis, not, you know, critique, diagnosis, healing. You know, and asking of everything. You know, what did this want to be before it got sketchy, right? And so when you talk about creation myth, well, yeah, no, yes, you go if you want to come back in here.
Well, I just want to keep supporting this idea of the power of some, we would call it imagination, but then we can kind of co-create with it to bring it into reality, you know, and that's why ceremonies were always important. So what we want to do with our imagination now is say, how would you like to see this world become in the future and work in that direction? And then you'll find the right people to help that become true. But we just have to understand that part of our connection and lack of other ways of saying working with that spirit. Because this stuff is kind of beyond us. It's like we were created somehow, so that's kind of beyond us. So we need to work with something. That's why I joke about a 12-step back to being human, because you understand in the drug and alcohol, they usually have to admit that they're a drug addict or alcoholic and that there's a bigger power that will help them through it, right? So in a way, we're facing that type of situation as far as humanity is concerned. We have to wake up and say, oh, I guess there's a greater power, which would be a good guess because you were created somehow. And that we'll work with that in the miracle of life, like Corbin was talking about, and get those spirits to work and hide the oil or clean the air. This is where it's at.
So we're in our last minute. Let me say something quickly and toss it back to you. But you know, because it's your work, we are, you know, we've lacked initiation of veterans and teens. You know, a simple one, which you do really, the initiation is, you know, we need you. We need your unique contribution to build Stonehenge and do this thing, right? And that's really what you do, right, with your mentoring youth and all the people that you encounter. We need you, right?
Right, exactly. That's right. That's what that elder said, keep that circle open so it'll get bigger. So we're getting that circle bigger. Like right now with everyone that could be out there listening to feel something in your heart, know that we're connected, we're working together. There is going to be a good future for all life.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ron Kauk. Again, denizen of Yosemite, Coyote Network News, Yosemite Bureau Chief. Always a delight to converse with yourself. And we are the molecules with which the big story converses through the agency of synchronicity. And thanks always to Kirsten Thomas, who is an agent of synchronicity. Great board up. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week with Sean Patrick O'Donohue. Woof. Thank you, Ron.
Oh.
Thank you.